lives to give. Wow. They're already trying to turn off the mic on this. Second Corinthians chapter 9. Let's read verse 6. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, in verses 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul states two principles on how we're to give to receive God's blessing. And the first one is seen in verse 6. And the first principle that we see in how we should give is this. Our giving should flow from a generous heart in order to receive God's blessings. Paul makes it very clear that the amount of blessings we receive is directly proportional to the amount that we give. That's what it says. Now, in describing this principle, Paul uses agricultural terms of sowing and reaping. Now look, even a city boy like me knows that if a farmer is to go out, the more seed he throws out, the more ability he has to have a greater crop. If I threw if I had one tomato seed and put it out there, I may get one tomato plant. If I put five, it'd probably take over my yard, right? That's what happened when we did that tomato science project and whatever. I'm still reaping that one. Yeah, we know that the more seed, the greater the crop. And this is exactly what Paul is saying. The more you give, the greater the blessings. God will bless. Makes sense. Therefore, if we desire to be truly blessed by God and more blessings, then we give more. Directly proportionate. Well, the second principle is found in verse 7. And the second principle is this. Our giving should flow from a thoughtful and joyful heart to receive God's approval. Our giving should flow from a thoughtful and joyful heart to receive God's approval. Notice verse 7. It says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Here Paul's saying, with forethought and with cheer, we are to give, generously give. There's a story of a mother who wanted to teach her daughter a moral lesson. She gave the little girl a quarter and a dollar for church. Put whichever one you want in the collection plate and keep the other for yourself. Well, the little girl heard her mom's instructions, and so she decided to do that. And when they were coming out of church, the mother asked the daughter what she had given. Well, said the little girl, I was going to give the dollar, but just before the collection, the man in the pulpit said that we should all be cheerful givers. I knew I'd be a whole lot more cheerful if I gave the quarter. So I did. Well, I'm not sure that's what Paul meant by cheerful giving here. I think we're to be cheerful and generous, according to Paul. The type of giving that finds favor with God is one that comes from a generous heart that has an inward resolve to give. The giving is a choice. It's premeditated. It's predetermined. It's a choice that we have decided to give, an amount that we have decided to give in our hearts to God. This giving is voluntary, but it's not impulsive. It's thought out. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about this in the end, but this is the first point that we want to see about this kind of giving, is that it's well thought out. It's planned in the heart what we will give to God. Now, we notice as it goes on, it says not only is this giving planned out, but notice how he says that we're to give. He says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly. Not reluctantly. Not if someone's got to pry it out of your hands, right? Not that. Not with reluctance. It really means not with being sorrowful or regretful that you have given the gift. This is not having an attitude of remorse, which may occur when we feel like we have to give out a sense of duty. That remorse that comes on. And this lends to Paul's next phrase. Notice, he says that each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. So I shouldn't give as one having to pull it out of my hands, but I shouldn't give as someone got the gun in my back saying give either. Right? That's not the way, that's not the motive that we're to give. We're to give cheerfully, voluntarily. We've thought it out. That's the kind of giving that God loves. Not out of some external coercion that may be tied to trying to somehow buy God's favor. Listen, you cannot buy God's favor. As God's children, we have God's favor. And that is why we should generously give. Not to somehow try to achieve it or earn it, we have it. But because of it, it should cause us to want to give. It's reverse. Now, it's amazing how when I stand up here, how God always puts me to test with all these texts. And lo and behold, this is what happened the other day. So I'm in my office and a man comes in and he has a need. And he comes in and him and his little boy. And he tells me of a need that he has. Now I want you to understand for our church that when anybody comes to our church, we try to find them help. We do. We have a list of numbers, of places. We try to get in a place where they're set up to give them help. As normally, as a rule, we do not give money. We've just found that that hasn't been very helpful to them in the long run. But we'll try to get them where they can find help. Or in some cases, when they're hungry, I've went out and I'll buy them lunch. I have no problem with that. We've just tried to be very smart and wise in how we help people. And so normally that's the policy. Well, this man came in and he was sharing his need and he, you know, he. I'll be honest, I don't think he was really straightforward with me. And that's honest. I don't think he was telling me the truth. He got a little defensive on me. But nonetheless, I, out of my own wallet, gave him money. And that would have been all fine and good, but there was a problem. And the problem was me. I could not shake this feeling of regret and remorse that I gave him the money. And I really had to stop and I had to think about my own heart for a minute. Why was I having such a problem? I mean, it wasn't like a whole lot of money. I mean, what was my problem? I mean, normally I have buyer's remorse when I go buy something. Now I've got giver's remorse. I'm totally confused. So I had to search in my heart to say, God, what is going on? And I remember even that night talking with Sandra a little bit about it. I just couldn't shake this feeling of remorse. And so I thought, well, why did I have such a problem? Was it because I was studying this passage and I was on the hook? Was it because I wanted to protect the honor of our church and the name that I felt compelled I had to give? I had to really look within and try to say, why was I having such a problem? Now, outwardly, what I did was good. It was fine. It was great. But But inwardly, my attitude was skewed somewhat. And it really took me time to just kind of pray about that and kind of go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. My attitude's just not quite right with this. I don't know why. It's things like that. God wants us to give cheerfully, not because we feel like we have to give. It should be something that is purposed in our hearts, that God's not having to pry it out or you know, someone's forcing it out. It's because we love God and we love others that we give. That's the kind of giving that God blesses. When we give generously with a joyful heart, God promises to bless us. And when we plan to give generously to God, and when we give it out of a heart of joy, this type of giving is the type of giving that God loves. Notice how he ends this verse in verse 7. Each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For notice, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's the kind of giving that God loves. But what are those blessings that God has promised to the generous giver? I mean, what does God say he will do when I give generously to him? What does he promise to do? Well, let's take a look. There are two things that we see in verse 8 that God promises that he'll bless when we generously give. Number one, God will extend his grace in order to meet our spiritual and physical needs. Notice verse 8. Let's read verse 8. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God will bless us by meeting our needs when we thoughtfully and generously give with a joyful heart. Henry Crowell, founder of the Quaker Oats Company, and a significant contributor to the Moody Bible Institute, knew how to use money wisely. As a young man, he received Jesus Christ as a Savior. And when he began his business career in a little Ohio factory, he promised God that he would honor him in his giving. And God blessed him for it. As his business grew, his giving grew. After more than 40 years of giving 60% of his income to God, Crowell testified, I've never gotten ahead of God. He has always been ahead of me in giving. That is our God. And the reason why we can testify that, notice in the very first four words, and I love this, in verse 8, and God is able. That is why we can give generously to God and God will meet our needs, because God is able. I love it. I had to, I'll just spill the beans. This was a sermon I preached in my class the other day for school. And I won't tell you my grade. I had to think twice of whether I wanted to bring it to this morning or not. Anyways, I had to write a reflection paper on what I gained from studying this passage. And here was the words, and God is able. I just sat and that truth just ran in my mind, how our God, our sovereign God, is able to meet our needs. We can trust him. The issue of giving comes down to that fact, trust. Trust. And as an expression of God's grace to us, God has promised to not let us down when we generously give. That's our God. And I'm sure that if I was to go around the room this morning, we can get a testimony service going on right now How many of you can testify the fact that God has met your needs when you stepped out in faith and gave consistently? That's our God. Our God is able. I love that fact. Came across this little poem this week in studying. It's a little poem by John Bunyan. It said, there was a man, some called him mad. The more he gave, the more he had. That's our God. That is our God. If we give, God is able to meet our needs. And then some. The second principle we notice in this is found in verse 8. God will extend his grace in meeting our needs so that, notice, we can give to others. This is a blessing from God. God can continue to use us to be his instruments to help others. Notice verse 8. Let's read again. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, that's first point, you will abound in every good work. You can keep on giving as you've committed to giving, because God will keep meeting your needs. And you can keep being a blessing to others. Now, maybe this giving back of God may come in the form of more hours at work. Maybe it'll come in the form of an unexpected financial gift. Maybe it'll come in the form of health so you can keep working. The point is, God will keep blessing you so that you can be a blessing to others when you give. Now, unlike many preachers today, I want you to notice the purpose of this. It is not this prosperity gospel that you give so God will bless you so it'll feed your sinful lust. It's not, well, God, I'm going to give you $100 and I expect a Jag in my driveway tomorrow. That's not what this is about. I mean, far from it. It is about God blessing us so that we can keep blessing others. Now, if you've got a Jag, don't be offended, okay? God bless you for your Jag. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing inherently sinful for having a Jaguar in your driveway. Might be sinful for me to envy it, but not so. No, that's not the point. And you understand the point. The point is that it's God blesses not to just feed our lust. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. And that is the point. And in this passage, Paul has defined the way that we should give and the blessings that will come when we abundantly give. When we purpose in our hearts to generously give with joy, God will bless us by meeting our needs and by providing us the ability to continue to be a blessing to others in need. That is why we should generously give. Even in this struggling economy, brethren, we can still generously give because God is able. God is able. Now, before I start really wrapping up the sermon, I thought for a moment I'd go back to the issue of thoughtful giving. And I just want to speak to us today in our church here for a few minutes. You know, I gave as a subtitle, Organizing Our Lives to Give, because this is the type of giving referred in this passage. A giving that has already been decided in our hearts to give. It's a choice that we have made to God. Okay? The issue of giving is between you and God. Amen? What you give is between you and God. Okay, it's what you purpose in your heart to God to give. Okay, and I think the fact is that we should give. I know it is. We should give. Okay, Paul tells the church earlier to give. Command. Now, this giving here is to help others. But I think our first point of giving should always be here within the body. And I'll talk about that in a minute. In a personal way, I guess the reason why I organize this way is because I have found that in my own life, I have missed out on so many blessings because I have not organized my financial house well enough where I could give. And even to this day, it sometimes is very much a challenge. We live in challenging times, which is why we need to be thoughtful and give God his first due. Because I can tell you and testify that I have missed many blessings when I've been able to, having desire to give, but just not able to do it. But a lot of that was my own doing. Because I did not organize my house correctly. And I will be the first to admit that. You know, as our text brought out, when we purposely and cheerfully give to God, it will result in blessings. In giving, we will find joy. Amen? In giving, we will grow spiritually. It is a way we grow. Because sometimes I want to tell you, it is a test of faith to drop the offering in the offering plate. I've been there, I know. Okay, and you know. Sometimes it is trusting God. But in order to really give to receive blessing, it requires us that we organize our lives in a way that we are able to give. What I mean by this is not that we give God the leftovers. Now I'm getting into everybody's kitchen. Now, here's the thing. If you don't like what I'm saying, go ahead and email Reuben this week. He's on vacation, all right? So go right ahead. I'm sure he would like the correspondence. Listen, we're not to give God the leftovers, but that he gets what we have purposed first in our hearts. And then we organize our spending around that. Different mindset. God should not get our leftovers. That means that I have to assess what things I can spend my money on and what things I can't. And trust me, I will be the first to say I have blown it many times in that. Okay. And that brings me to another benefit of purposing in your heart to give. And here it is. It forces us to control spending on things that may not be good for us. It forces us. If I give God my first cut, he gets my first cut or whatever I purpose, he gets that first, then I have a limited amount of other money to spend. And that keeps me corralled from just going nuts with the values of the world. I mean, let's face it, materialism runs rampant in our society. I don't have to keep up with the Joneses. Or whatever name you want to put in there. I don't have to. And when I give God his first due, what he deserves, what I've given, what I purpose in my heart, it keeps that materialism, the values of the world, in check. It is one way of doing that. It limits the amount of money that I can spend on things that, you know what, they're not needs. They're just me trying to keep up with the Joneses or whatever. So in organizing my life, and we're going to talk about this, the first thing I want you to notice is this. And here's the first step. Give yourself first to God. This is really where it starts. And I say this with everything in our life. It starts with me saying, okay, God, you are my God. And I will give you your praise and worth and honor in my life, your glory that you are due. This is where it starts. It starts with an attitude of my heart. If it starts where, well, I got to give it to you, already you've missed the point. Right? I got to give God his cut. No, you got the privilege of giving God what he's due. By the way, in your notes, I like that first quote I had on there. It's not a matter how much you give, it's how much of God's stuff you keep, right? Because God owns it all. And so it starts first in my heart. The example here is the Macedonians who said that they first gave themselves to God. When I generously give, it first starts with me giving myself to God and saying, okay, God, you are God. That's where it starts. It starts by me seeking first the kingdom of God. The Bible says that where your treasures are, what? That's where your heart will be. Is your treasure God? Is your treasure Jesus Christ? That should be our treasure. My treasure is that. The kingdom of God, I want more people to know our treasure. It starts there. It starts in our heart. The second thing we notice is this. Purpose what you will give. And this is what we've been mentioning. It's thoughtful giving. Purpose in your heart what you will give God. Now, I'm not going to get into the discussion about whether tithing is a principle for us today as far as it's a mandate or not. We can go and round and how that's the Old Testament and given to Israel. But let me just say this. I think it is a great principle for us to aim at in our lives of giving God 10%. By the way, in the Old Testament, they gave more than 10%. Okay? When you do the math, you'll find out they were given a lot more. The point is, I think that's a great point for us to aim at in our lives, to give to God. We need a purpose that we will give, whatever that amount is, that we will give to God. Finally, whatever we purpose, it's this. Evaluate other purchases in light of your commitment to give. In other words, if I say in my heart, I am going to give God 10%, and I've got that figure in my mind, and I say, okay, each week when I come to the house of God, I am going to give him that cut, then that means everything else needs to come after I've done that. Okay. So evaluate other purchases in light of your commitment to God. God should be number one in our lives. Amen? Who's going to argue with that? He should also be number one in our lives in spending. That's God. Now, let me just brag on you guys for a few minutes. Our church is one of the most giving churches I know. For the size of us, we do really great. We have done some wonderful things. This year, besides what we have set aside for our missionaries through our church budget, over and beyond that, we've helped Mongolia this year when they had that real deep freeze and just that whole church was like below zero. And I mean, it was terrible, but we helped them fix that. That was a real emergency for them. We helped in the Haiti. We set up money to help in Haiti with the earthquake. We had a missionary who's planning on going to Thailand that we gave a good offering to help him get to Thailand. We have also made Easter baskets to give to our neighborhoods. We've helped our brothers and sisters here within the church. This is all over and beyond what our church gives, and this is wonderful. This is just such a great thing. I know our church's heart is in giving and helping one another, and it brings a smile to my face. When I see it, it's such a great testimony. It really is. However, with that being said, let me encourage you in this. The one area that we really need to work on is giving to our church budget. Okay, now I'm getting more into the kitchen, all right? You know, within our church budget, we have set aside to help missionaries. We have set aside to do all our church programs. We have a budget set amount for camp and for VBS and all these things. We have that set aside in our budget. We have in our budget money set aside for benevolence to help one another in time of need. All good. We've budgeted this for the ministry of this church. Okay? And so with all this, our first giving should go here first. And I believe that is the principle that we see. That it should go to primarily to your church family where we are spiritually fed, where we're committed to one another. That should be the first point of giving for us to God. There are a lot of great other organizations out there. And I'm not saying don't give to them. There are a lot of good things out there. And that's great. But our first priority should be here, because together we have voted on as a church, this is how we're going to carry out the Great Commission. Okay. Now, when I ask for, like with VBS, we have an offering thing in the back for loose change. I want you to understand that we mean for this to be over and beyond what you've committed to the church budget. Okay. We need this. If everybody just gave to their and it's good, gave to what they desire to do in the church, it would be great. We'd be great programs, but we couldn't turn on the lights. That makes sense. I don't think I've ever had anybody come up and give me money and say, here's for the electricity this week. This is why we have a church budget. And I say this with all the, with grace as I can, that we need to make sure our priority is first giving to our budget. Okay, this is where we need to have it happen. And you'll notice in the bulletin, I've mentioned how much we're falling short each week. Now, we understand the economy has hit us hard and whatnot. So what I'm encouraging to do is to everybody to just please look in your heart and purpose in your heart what you will give to God, commit to it, and give to it each week here at the church. And God will bless you for that. But giving first starts here within the church. So let me encourage you to do that. Well, let's wrap this up. The story is told one day that a beggar came to Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great was walking on the side of the road, down the road, and this beggar saw him. And he cried out for alms to help him. Now this beggar, you know what, he was poor. He didn't even have really the status to lift up his hand to Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great, as he was walking by, threw 3 gold coins to him to help this man in his need. And a person walking with Alexander the Great noticed that. And he was just puzzled by it. So he went up to Alexander the Great and he said, you know, why did you give him 3 gold coins? Why didn't you just give him 3 copper coins? That would have met this man's need. Alexander the Great responded, and I love the way he responded. He said, listen, yes, giving him 3 copper coins would have met his need. But giving 3 gold coins met Alexander's giving. The point was that Alexander wanted to be a generous giver, not just meet the need. He wanted to go over and beyond. Of all people, Alexander the Great, we ought to have an attitude like his in giving. That we want to give generously over and beyond to God. I hope that's our attitude this morning. The church at Corinth was challenged by Paul. He was challenged by, look, you give to God, you test God, and guess what? He will bless you when you give. Guess what? We're being challenged today in the same way. When we give to God, God will bless us. He promises he is able. So let's give with a joyful and generous heart, trusting God and knowing that he will meet our needs over and beyond. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you that we've had this time to consider these words from Paul. Father, how we are challenged in our giving, that we would truly give in a way that brings you honor and glory. Father, it's so easy for us to get entrapped by the values of this world, the status symbols, the things that they tell us we have to be somebody, when we already know we are somebody because we know you. Help us to boast in you, that we know you, not boast in things of the world. Father, may our heart be sensitive to you. May we truly desire to please you in all that we do, and especially in our giving. Father, just help us see clearly those challenges in our way from giving like we should. And Father, give us the boldness and courage and trust to adjust, to make you our priority in everything we do. Father, I ask that you would be with the one here this morning who may not know you, who may kind of think this sermon's a little bit strange. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would work on their heart, realizing that you are the great God who gives. And we are trying to be like you, your example. So, Father, bless our church, and may we be about your business. We thank you and we give you praise. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing. I don't know what's on your heart.